Okay, I think it's Jeremiah. Got your Bibles? You ready to go? Got out your Christian pen so you can start marking it up, right? The author of the book, we always do just a little bit before we start. The author of this book is named Jeremiah, in case you were wondering. The son of Hilkiah, of a little city called Anatoth. He says that in verse 1. But I just thought I'd let you know that. Anyway, Anatoth is a small village about 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Not very far from the city of Jerusalem, just a few miles northeast. Jeremiah himself, who wrote this book, he prophesied from the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah, which is about 627 B.C., and he was in the ministry from the 13th year of King Josiah until the exile of the southern kingdom. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar came and took them into captivity? That was around 586 B.C. And what that means is that's just over 40 years. Jeremiah was in the ministry and prophesied and spoke out the word of the Lord for just over 40 years. As we read through this book of Jeremiah, we learn a lot about Jeremiah himself. Now, you've seen some of the other prophets as they've written these books, as we've covered some of the Old Testament. You know that some of these prophets, we don't learn a lot about them. We don't know much about them. But Jeremiah, we know a lot about him. He wrote this, and basically, you can almost call it an autobiography. He includes himself in many of these chapters, how he was feeling, where he was born, what he was doing. So it's not quite an autobiography, but it's much like one. You learn a lot about this prophet from himself as we go through the book. And so it's kind of fun because we get to know him and see that he's a real people. J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary, he gives us a list of things that we learn about Jeremiah, and I kind of like that list, so I thought I'd just kind of give it to you before we start the book. It's kind of fun to do this every once in a while. I'll give you a list, and you're supposed to remember the list and then recognize it when we see it come up through the chapters. This book is not real short. Shouldn't take us too long, though. Here's a simple list of things we learn about Jeremiah. From Jeremiah. One, he was born, as I told you, just northeast of Jerusalem. He was chosen to be a prophet before he was born. I would say, truthfully, even though God mentions it specifically to Jeremiah, I would say that you and I could say the same things about ourselves, that we were called before we got here. And I know people have a hard time with that because Jeremiah was chosen to be a prophet before he was even born. And so some people say, well, he didn't have a free will. God made him do it. No, you'll see that it was his choice. Although we're going to see that he's going to change his mind a few times. It still was his choice. It's not like God has forced you to be his. You'll see what I mean. He was called to his prophetic office. In other words, he entered the ministry at a very young age. It looks like probably he was 20 or 21 years old when he went into the ministry. Most of us, to include you, at 21, still have quite a bit to learn before we really take on ministry. But Jeremiah took on full-time ministry at 20 to 21 years old. And he began his ministry, as I've told you, during the reign of King Josiah. Jeremiah was forbidden to marry because of the terrible times in which he lived in. Nothing is wrong with marriage, but this particular prophet was forbidden to marry. Now you'll see Hosea, you'll see some of the other prophets were married. Isaiah, I'm sure you probably remember, but Jeremiah, because of the difficulty of the days that he lived, was forbidden to marry. In the over 40 years that he preached God's word, we learn he never made one convert. And so, I don't know, maybe in the eyes of the world, they would call him a failure. He preached God's word, and not one individual listened to him, which kind of bummed him out. As you'll see, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Can you imagine giving 40 to 42 to 43 years of your life, preaching with your whole heart, in tears, with all the energy that you have, it makes you old before your time, and not one listened. His message, the Bible says, broke his own heart. That's another reason he's called the weeping prophet. The message was so difficult to deliver that it broke his own heart to have to deliver it, to say those things to his people, about his people. You'll learn as we go through, and you can watch for this, you'll see it, that he wanted to resign a few times. I don't want to be a prophet anymore. I don't want to be in ministry anymore. I don't want to do this. But he never quite could get his, God never accepted his resignation papers. He never quite could do it. He saw, Jeremiah did, with his own eyes, the destruction of Jerusalem. He was there and an eyewitness when it happened. And he saw with his own eyes his countrymen, his people, taken into captivity into Babylon. Jeremiah himself, we'll learn, was permitted to stay in the land. King Nebuchadnezzar let Jeremiah stay when so many were taken captive and so many were killed. He allowed Jeremiah to stay in the land along with a small remnant. When the remnant decided to run away to Egypt to flee, a little later on after the captivity, things were getting tough. It was getting hard to eat, getting hard. I mean, it was a desolate place. So they decided to flee down to Egypt for protection and food and stuff. Jeremiah prophesied against them and against fleeing to Egypt and told them not to do it. And if you've read through the book of Jeremiah, you already know what happened was they bound him and gagged him, beat him up, and dragged him to Egypt as well. Even though he prophesied against going, they took him there against his will. And history says that Jeremiah, down in Egypt, continued to prophesy against that small remnant until they stoned him to death. Not only did he not have one convert his whole ministry, but he was killed by the people that he was trying to protect and save. Now, before we start the book, we will learn that God was totally taken out of the picture in Judah. Totally taken out of the picture. They had forgotten him, and they had disobeyed his word. And so Jeremiah was called upon to preach. By the way, the same situation surrounds you and I today, even in the country we live in. God has blessed, and we have taken those blessings for granted. We just assume he's supposed to. We have turned from God, taken God completely out of the picture, and disregarded and disobeyed his word. I think you know that you see it in the news daily. More and more and more we see Christmas is not allowed to be talked about each year as more people become something else, Satanists or witches or Islam or whatever they become, less and less are we seeing Christian things. Many people are now complaining that there are crosses on public property and they're sort of doing away with crosses on public property. I don't know what they're going to do with the Arlington Cemetery. I don't know what they're with all those crosses, and that is public property. We'll see how that goes, but we've forgotten the Lord. We've turned from the Lord. We've disregarded his word. We've disobeyed his word. And that's how we'll start this simple book called Jeremiah. Now you know quite a bit about Jeremiah, so be watching for the things you've already learned about him. It begins this way, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, just a few miles northeast of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was born to a priest. His father, his dad, was a priest who served the Lord. Jeremiah, verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So, we're told there his ministry ranged from the 13th year of Josiah the king all the way until the captivity, all the way until Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, came and took Judah captive and destroyed Jerusalem. Josiah the king was a good king. I mean, that doesn't mean he didn't make mistakes. He made some severe mistakes. It cost him his life, as you read through 1 and 2 Kings, as you read through the Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you'll see Josiah died in a battle that he didn't belong in. He went, this was unlike him, something overcame him, obviously, and he went against the king down south when the king wasn't even attacking. He just decided he wanted to do it. He died in that battle. And, of course, Jeremiah mourned his death. Josiah became king at 8 years old. 8 years old. And in his 13th year of his reign, that's when Jeremiah began to prophesy. So they were pretty near. Josiah and Jeremiah were pretty near the same age, 21, 22 years old. Probably they knew one another well. It looks like they were friends, the way that Jeremiah mourned the death of the king. And again, here's the time of Jeremiah's ministry, from the 13th year of the reign of Josiah to the carrying away of Jerusalem into captivity. Now verse 4 says, then, when he went into his ministry, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The word of the Lord came to me. Jeremiah says, God spoke to me. And after we read what Jeremiah said, you know, many people today ask this question. When does life begin? When does it begin? The Bible answers it clearly. In other words, when does it change from just being a fetus to being a baby? That seems to be the argument, isn't it? Some say, well, you can have an abortion up to this time. Well, now it's changed. You can have an abortion even as the baby's being born. As long as you can catch it before it breathes too many times, then it's not a baby, correct? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible here alludes to immediately upon conception. It is a life. God says, before I formed you in the belly, what does he say? I knew you. This word knew, a past tense of the word know in the Hebrew, is the same word you'll find in the Greek when Jesus is praying in John chapter 17 and is what we call the Lord's Prayer. When he says, this is life eternal, that they may know you. The word know or knew means to have an intimate, personal relationship with. God says, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. Before you were all put together, I already knew you. When does life begin? At conception. You want proof? David says so, listen closely, in the book of Psalms. Psalm 139, I'll read you verses 15 and 16. You can read it for yourself, the whole psalm, when you get some time. David says, my substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Let me say that in English. As soon as I was conceived, before I was even put together, you began to build me. You see, life begins at conception. There is no argument. There it is. And that's what God is telling Jeremiah. I formed you. But before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. A close, personal, intimate relationship. I knew you before I ever formed you. Before you were born, but in other words, before you came out of the womb, he goes on to say, I called you. Not only did he call him, but he ordained him. Isn't that what he says? Let's read the verse. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came out or came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. To sanctify means to set apart for a specific purpose. Or to set apart for a specific use. God wants Jeremiah to know this. Why? Why does God tell Jeremiah, before I formed you, I was close to you already. I knew you. Before you were born, I ordained you. I sanctified. I had you set apart for a specific purpose and a ministry. Why would he tell Jeremiah that? Jeremiah's going to know in a few verses, but I can tell you, I'll give you a clue. Because his ministry is going to be so difficult that he's going to want to give up as soon as he starts. He's going to want to stop as soon as nobody listens right away. And God is saying, now before we even get going here, I want you to know, I know what I'm doing. I have called you. When everybody attacks you, you're going to assume I didn't call you. But I'm telling you, before you were formed in the womb or in the belly, I knew you. Before you were born, I had an assignment for you. I'm telling you, everyone, before you were born, God had an assignment for you. As soon as you were willing to say yes, he's got a plan for every one of us. I know you don't think so because you say, well, I'm not gifted. I don't know very much. I can't do this. I'm having troubles in this area of my life. And I know you think the same things. Don't worry. Listen to Jeremiah. He's got it worse than you do. Watch this. God says, you know, before you were born, I set you aside for my use. I set you aside, listen, to serve me. I set you aside for a special task or a special assignment. Then I said, Jeremiah says, I answered him in verse 6. Ah, Lord God, behold, I can't speak. For I am a child. All right, now remember, when he talks about the word child, you and I think of a toddler. When you use the word child, you'll see that men and women were considered a child until they hit 30 years old. You and I don't use the term today, although we've seen some people in their 20s that we would go, man, what a baby. Remember, Jeremiah is right around 21 years old here. And so he's saying, I'm too young to go speak your word. God already prepared him for that. Now, Jeremiah, I've told you, I've specifically called you. Before you were born, this was all set up. Don't panic. I can't do this. I'm too young. I can't speak. I can't be a prophet. How many of you have said that just lately? I can't share the word of God with others. I don't know enough. I can't witness. How could I witness? I just started reading my Bible and having a hard time understanding myself. I can't do this. That's what he's saying. I'm too young. I'm too experienced. Inexperienced is what he's saying. I'm incapable of doing this job. And another way to put it is the same way Moses said it. I'm not ready for this. It's just going to take a while for this thought to get into my head. I'm not ready. I can't do this. I'm too young. I remember when God called me into the ministry, I didn't say that. I just ran away. I left that church and didn't go back to church for almost 2 years because I knew that God had specifically called me. And what I was saying was, I can't. I'm inexperienced. I don't know. I'm not capable. I'm too young. I can't do this. Jeremiah, don't panic. You were called to this before you were born. Remember John the Baptist? God says he'll be called John and he'll be a Nazarite from the womb. So he's of the vow of a Nazarite place. There was another Nazarite from the womb. Can you remember who he was? This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, you think hard. Right. Samson. Good. From the womb in Nazarite. Samson didn't do so well. Samson committed suicide. Samson is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith. Maybe he did better than you thought, huh? Well, here we have a little guy who says, I'm too young, I'm too inexperienced, I'm not capable of doing the job, I'm not ready. One of the things that you'll find as you go through Scripture is God uses people who you would never dream he was going to use. And those people never dreamed it either. Moses, I can't. I'm 80 years old, but I don't know enough. I stutter when I talk. I mean, I'm weak. I'm worthless. Gideon, when the angel says, thou mighty man of valor, thou mighty man of the Lord, Gideon goes, you got the wrong guy. I mean, he's hiding down in a hole, trying to thresh a little bit of grain so the enemy might not know what he's doing. He's hiding. And the angel says, you're a mighty man. And Gideon goes, I think you got the wrong guy. It's a good sign when someone says, I couldn't. I don't think I can. It's a little bit more troublesome when the guy goes, pick me. I can do that. Or the girl, because now you're thinking, okay, hold it. There's a heart here. Something's up here. So you'll see a pattern through Scripture. Well, watch this. He says, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto him, do not say, I'm a child. In other words, in American, don't you say, I am too young. Don't even say it. For you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Don't tell me that you're too young. I know just what I'm doing. Before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I ordained you. I sanctified you. I set you apart. Don't tell me how old you are. I know exactly what's going on. And you will go and you will speak exactly what I tell you to speak. Don't change it. You say the words that I tell you to say. Oh, boy. Whatever I command you to say, you're going to say it. I don't know. How would you feel right now? Oh, man. Now, I'm in trouble if I don't, and I'm in trouble if I do. Well, look at verse 8. Don't be afraid of their faces. Must have been some ugly people he had. No, I'm just kidding. No, what that means is he's going to, you know, he's not going to do it through the radio. He's not going to do it, you know, on a CD or an MP3 or a cassette tape. He's going to have to talk to them. To their face, he's going to have to look them in the eye and say, alas for you lawyers and Pharisees, hypocrites that you be. He's going to have to do that. So God says, now, don't say you're too young. I'm going to tell you what to say. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. You're going to say that. And he says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Oh, that's bad news. I mean, it's good news mixed with bad news. The good news is God is with you. The bad news is I'm going to have to deliver you. What does that tell you? I mean, you already know what's coming. I'll be there with you to deliver you. Deliver me from what? I'm too young. I am with you. God says, I will protect you. Well, literally, ready for this? I'll rescue you. I don't need it, Lord. I don't really need this. I'll get a job. No, don't say that. I'll tell you what you're going to say. Don't say I'm too young. Here's what you're going to say. You're going to say everything I tell you to say. And I'll be right there with you. And I'll rescue you. Matthew 28. Verses 18 through 20. Not just to his disciples right there, but to me and to you also, he says, Jesus resurrected, risen from the dead. He says, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You go, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. When God tells you that he will be with you, he will be with you. He will always be there. Sometimes he'll have to grab you by the collar and drag you out quick before they rip your head off. Sometimes he'll have to rescue you. But he will always be there with you. He said so. Jeremiah, don't worry and don't be afraid of their faces. You will have to speak directly to people. Sometimes one-on-one, sometimes in groups of two or four, sometimes in large assemblies. You're going to tell people what I've got to say. You're going to speak my word. And I'll be there with you and I'll rescue you. I'll deliver you. Then the Lord put forth his hand, verse 9, and touched my mouth. People have asked, now did God really just show up and touch him on the lips? I don't know. It doesn't say how all this took place. But Jeremiah knew that he was touched by the Lord. And he said, the Lord touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Do you read your Bible? Do you read your Bible? Maybe when you get up, take some time in the morning first thing. Maybe when you go to bed, take some time right before you conk out. Maybe at lunch, or maybe you've got a special time that's none of those times that really works in your schedule. But do you read your Bible? Do you make sure that you're in the presence of God and that you read through his word so that his word is in your heart, not just in your head, but in your heart? So God says, I have put my words in your mouth. Wow. See, Jeremiah, he's not going to have to worry about what to say. You open your mouth, and what's going to come out is my word. Now, that sounds like it's great, and it is, but it's sure going to cause Jeremiah a lot of trouble. Because he's going to open his mouth, he's going to speak, and people are going to go, well, who do you think you are? And it's going to be kind of ugly. God's word was there. And when he would speak, it's going to be God's word that he was speaking. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, this would also include you and me, those that are true Christians, Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. It's the Word of God in you. It's the Spirit of God live in your heart. Jesus Christ live in your heart. Haven't you had it happen to you yet? You'll be talking with someone and you'll share a scripture you didn't even know that you knew. Hasn't it happened to you yet? You'll be sharing and they'll say, that's just what I read this morning. I just read that. Wow, were you reading that too? And you think, no, I don't know where that came from. Matter of fact, the word of the Lord. Jesus said, don't worry when you get called on the carpet, because the world will hate you. They'll drag you in front of maybe some magistrates. Maybe you'll have to answer at work. Maybe you'll have to answer at school. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows where you'll have to answer? But Jesus says, don't panic, don't worry, but the Spirit will give you the words to speak. It'll be the words of your Father. Isn't that what God told Jeremiah? I put my words in your mouth. You speak, you'll be speaking what I've got to say. Don't worry. And God's word is good, just like God is good. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture, how much? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You can use the word of God in any and every situation. It is usable. It is profitable that the man of God may be mature, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All you need is God's word. If you've got God's word and you're in God's word, you and me, and we're reading God's word, there are going to be many times when you and I will share and God's word is going to go forth. And that's what he's telling Jeremiah. Then he says something that probably frightens this young man. See, verse 10, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. God puts Jeremiah in charge of giving out his word. You're my prophet. I have sanctified you. That means, and remember, we are told as Christians, we have been sanctified. We are taken and put into a specific place for a specific use. And he says, I'm giving you charge of giving out my word to the nation of Judah. But not only to Judah, you'll speak to the whole world. By the way, you know, a lot of people besides the Jews read the book of Jeremiah. You and I are. And he says the prophet would pronounce judgment. That's what he would mean when he would say to uproot or to tear down. Judgment is coming. A lot of what Jeremiah will speak is going to be judgment that's coming. He would also pronounce blessings, which you and I would say to plant or to build up. So judgment and blessings will be coming from Jeremiah, the word of God. Moreover, furthermore, verse 11. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. God asked Jeremiah a question now. This is to show Jeremiah basically what is happening and what he's going to be talking about. What do you see, Jeremiah? He says, I see a branch of an almond tree. Well, the Hebrew word for almond is sequad. It means literally to watch or to be awake. Why do they name it that Hebrew word, which we translate almond? Because that almond tree in the land where Jeremiah lived, there in Israel, was usually the first tree of the year to bud and to bear fruit, even before the fig tree. So the Hebrews naturally called that tree the waking tree or the watching tree. The first one, the first fruits, so to speak, and the other trees would follow. You understand what God's saying? Because the tree is usually first to bud and to bear fruit, it was called a wake tree or watcher tree. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the awake, a branch from the awake tree, a branch from the watcher tree. Jeremiah was being shown, you're to be like that almond tree. You're to be the one who is watching and the one who wakes up others. We could call Jeremiah the alarm clock for Israel. Alarm clocks, although most everyone owns them, they're not very popular, are they? You go to a lot of college dormitories and you'll see really alarm clocks that are really beat up and banged up. You say, what happened? Well, I didn't want to get up and I couldn't stop it, so I just knocked it off the table, threw it across the room. You know why, don't you? Even though we set those things, we don't like to be awakened out of a sleep, do we? No, go ahead and admit it. Nobody's looking. Not really. You see, alarm clocks aren't so popular. Oh, people own them, but you know, people, the alarm clock's telling you got to get up and you got to get moving. And so mankind in his wisdom has invented snooze. Although they'll look at you and laugh at you and say, if you snooze, you lose, they still invent a snooze button. What's it for? Obviously to cause me to lose. It goes off and I hit a button for whatever time people set it for. Many are pre-programmed for 10 minutes. Like 10 minutes is going to change your life. That'll do it. Just 10 minutes. And then you hit the snooze and it gives you 10. And you can, the way they're made now, God bless them, you can hit it 50 times. Well, that's 50 minutes. Or 500 minutes, I guess, if you multiply it all out. You could stay in bed all day. Don't worry, the alarm's it'll go off. We do not like to be awakened out of our sleep, do we? What is God saying? You're going to be like an almond tree. You're going to be an alarm clock. People aren't going to like being awakened from the sleep that they're in. They're not going to like judgment as well as blessing. They're not going to like a lot of this, Jeremiah. What do you see? I see that branch. That's what you'll be like. The things that you'll be saying will be an alarm. Will be a wake-up call. Then said the Lord to me, verse 12, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Okay. What do you see? I see an almond branch. You're right. You're right. I'll give you the words that are going to wake my people up. Verse 13. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, now what do you see? What do you see? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Now what do you see? I see a big kettle boiling. It's on the fire, and it's boiling. And the terminology means it's boiling over. It's overflowing. It's boiling. The top is kind of up, and it's boiling over. It's starting to come down inside the north, facing the north. Well, we already know. Because we know who's coming. Jeremiah doesn't realize, but we know who's coming. Now, wait a minute. Who's coming is Nebuchadnezzar and his band of renown. All these mean, gross Chaldeans, these Babylonians. They're coming. Now, where are they? If you look at a map and you have Jerusalem and you look for Babylon, you're going to find it way over there in the east, over by the Euphrates River. They're coming from the north. I mean, has the Bible finally got a mistake in it? No. As you go back and you watch Nebuchadnezzar, how he worked it, they left from Babylon and followed north the river, taking all the cities along the way, coming up north all the way around, and then coming straight down across through the Assyrians and down through to take Judah. They came right from the north, even though we already know who they are, and they're coming directly from the east. Aren't you impressed with God? Before they moved, he told you which direction they'd be coming from. The Chaldeans are coming. A big boiling kettle. Overflowing boiling. You know what that means, don't you? Well, let's read and we'll see. Then the Lord said unto me, verse 14, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. An evil shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem and against all the walls thereof, round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. From the north, that kettle that you're seeing that's boiling over, that's evil coming from the north. It's going to break out on all the inhabitants of the land. They're all going to be burned by that boiling cauldron or kettle. Disaster, trouble, evil coming upon the land. Oh, great. My first message to the people I get to meet is there is disaster. There is trouble. A great kettle is boiling and it's going to burn and destroy all the inhabitants of the land. Great news. Boy, you'll get on the radio and people are going to love that. People are going to want to support that ministry and really want to come to your church, Jeremiah. Babylon and her allies are going to come from the east, come up and around, and come down to destroy Judah and all its inhabitants. And what does God say? What we've already learned from other prophets, Habakkuk being one. God says it is his judgment on his people, number one, for their disobedience, number two, for forgetting him and his word, and number three, for forsaking the Lord and beginning to worship what they made with their own hands. They made idols, began to worship them. Today, we have forsaken the Lord. We have forgotten. We've turned our back on him and begun to worship the things that we've made, the things that we think are great. Science, we begin to worship it. Technology, people begin to worship it. They're starting to clone. They're trying to create life. They completely forget about God and what he's all about, and they turn to worship what they themselves can do. And we're hearing more and more talk about we, mankind, we're going to figure out the secret to eternal life. We're going to have it. They begin to worship what they have accomplished with their own hands and made with their own hands. And God says, it's because of this that the destruction and the ugliness and the pain and the suffering will come upon every individual in that land. Verse 17. Thou therefore, because of what we've just read, therefore, gird up thy loins, arise, speak unto them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Oh, great. For behold, I have made you this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So God says, now that you got this little, the first message, get up. Get up and get ready. Go speak to these people. Get yourself ready. Through God's power, we learn Jeremiah was given the inner strength to stand up to these people and to preach God's word. It's through God's power that you are given, through God's Holy Spirit, that you are given the strength, the inner strength to stand and to share God's word with others. And to share the good news and to boldly proclaim what he has to say and what you believe. Even in the face of what happens to you and what comes back because of it. What does he say again? He goes on and he says, I'll make you as strong as a fortified city. I'll make you as strong as an iron pillar. I'll give you the strength of a brass or a bronze, solid bronze wall. You're going to take a lot of hits, Jeremiah. You're going to take a lot of hits over this. But you'll remain strong. God says they will attack you. These attacks will not just be because of what you say. These will be also personal attacks. They will not like you. You will be attacked for your message, and you will be attacked because you're you. They will attack you. They will not like what I've got to say, and they will attack the messenger because of the message. He says, they will fight against you, Jeremiah, but I will be with you. They won't listen to the message, but you give them the message anyway. Do you remember Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 6. God says, who shall go for us? Who can we send? And Isaiah had just been cleansed. And there he says, here am I, send me. And do you remember God saying, all right, thanks for volunteering. Of course, God had him pegged all along. God says, okay, before you go, I want you to know that you're going to give them a message that they will reject. They will not listen to. They'll put you to death. They will not listen. And Isaiah said, how long? I mean, how long will I preach and they not listen? And God said, you will die and they will not listen. And remember, they cut Isaiah in half. They sawed him in half. And they just didn't listen to what he had to say. Over 40 years, Jeremiah preached the word of God, and not one convert, not one listened to what he had to say. And God's going to tell him through the scripture, through this book, don't you dare change anything I've said. Keep saying it just like I say it. I will be with you. Now, as we finish the chapter, you say, you know, you and I are called as true Christians to share the word of God. Probably you've tried it, and it doesn't go over well, does it? Don't many people tell you, look, I don't want to hear that. I don't believe the Bible. I just don't believe any of that garbage. I don't want to hear it. And what's interesting is, but I'm called to share it anyway. My calling, your calling, we're called to share it anyway. Not be abusive, not to force it on them, but to share it. And when you have you noticed how powerful the Word of God is? You'll say something like, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And they'll interrupt you and say, don't shove that down my throat. Shove it down your throat. I was just quoting it. But that's how powerful it is. It's the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut even asunder between the soul and the spirit, which nobody, none of us can figure out. Psychologists are still trying to figure out, how does it all work in there? It's integrated. How can you get between soul and spirit? People try to explain it. They can't. God can. And we're called to share the word of God. Not our amazing experiences, although you can share them to help people understand what God's saying. Not your amazing IQ and the ability you've got to make them see. No, God's word. And I find, and you have probably found, sharing God's word is a lot harder than telling them something else. Notice, someone comes in and says, we're having troubles in this area. What can we do? And you say, well, the Bible says, they say, no, don't tell us that, man. Tell us what we can do. Yeah, but the Bible clearly says that you need to call on the Lord while you may be. Yeah, but can't you give us a book to read? Can't you tell us something to do? Can you give us some good advice? And you say, I can tell you God's word. And they say, we don't want to hear that. We want something that works. And then they go off and try to do something their way. That's what Jeremiah is up against. They shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail. Yeah, they're going to stone him to death there about 40 years from now or so. But they will not prevail against you, for I am with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you. I will be with you. In Jeremiah chapter 20, which we'll get to in a few weeks, verse 11, here's what Jeremiah is going to speak out, even though he's under such pressure and is heartbroken. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. See, his faith, even 20 chapters from now, as he's going through it, says, God's with me. He's going to handle it. It's going to be okay. 1 John 4:4. For me and you, God is with you. Listen to this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, those antichrists, those spirits, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God is with you. Romans 8:31. We all know that one. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is with you. Read your Bible. We'll follow through and see the difficult things that Jeremiah had to speak out. Because God loved his people so much, he wanted them to turn from their wicked ways. Oh, they didn't. But it wasn't that they couldn't. Write that down. It was that they chose not to. They heard and wouldn't listen. They chose to disobey. They chose to continue to turn their backs on God. God is with us. That's good news. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for your word. And again, for the reminder, as we begin this book of Jeremiah, for the reminder that he wasn't so sure about anything. As a young man, Lord, admitting that he certainly didn't know it all. And admitting, Lord, that he wasn't capable. And we, Lord, are willing to admit the same thing. We certainly don't know it all. And, Lord, we are certainly not capable. But you formed us. You allowed us to be born. And, Lord, you even called us. And there are many who have said yes to Jesus Christ. And we belong to you. And now, Lord, sanctified, set apart for your purpose, for your use, for your glory. We pray just as Jeremiah would recognize it, we pray that we would recognize as well and remember that you are with us. You said you would never leave us, you would never forsake us. You said, lo, I am with you always. We claim your promise, Lord. And we do thank you. Ask as we study through your word, as we read our Bibles, as we fellowship together, that we would grow, that our hearts would be different, and that, Lord, that it would bring you glory. For we ask of you and we believe in Jesus' name.